there. This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the songs we've chosen for you today. We look today at the first miracle mentioned in John's Gospel, where Jesus supernaturally changes water into wine at a wedding feast at Cana in Galilee. Here's a beautiful song to open with, one with very touching lyrics. It asks, "Who am I that the Lord of heaven would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt?" It also asks, "Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again?" It seems that the writer cannot comprehend that such love, mercy, and forgiveness can be shown to one such as himself, a sinner. Here it is from Casting Crowns. Who am I?
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. That calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
By the time John wrote his gospel, the other gospel writers had already recorded the many miracles Jesus performed, so John didn't need to repeat what had already been written. He mentions seven, which all point to who Jesus was, and because of this he calls them signs instead of miracles. Each of them challenges us to ask not who am I, like the last song, but who is he? Those of us old enough may remember a TV western about a masked man on a white horse who, along with his Indian friend Tonto, would come to the rescue of some victims somewhere in the outback. At the end of each programme, there'd be a person who would ask the all-important question, "Who is that man in the mask? Who is he?" To which someone would reply, "He's the Lone Ranger." Well, John is trying to give us the answer too, through each one of these miracles, which tell us more about the one who made them happen. Here's a song called "Who Is He in Yonder Stall" by the BYU Men's Choir.
Who is he in yonder stall?
So let's now listen to our gospel reading for today from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine up till now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Here we see that Jesus has been invited to a wedding feast. This shows us he's not been living like a hermit in the desert, out of touch with others, but is familiar with everyday village life and the customs of its people. He's not straight-laced or a killjoy. He's there enjoying himself with his friends, for some of the disciples have been invited too. They would all be used to all kinds of celebrations, at weddings, births, and religious festivals. It's right to rejoice in events such as these, and to express our joy and thankfulness to God. In this next hymn by Stuart Townend, he tells us that each and every day we live is a gift from heaven, and he thanks God for the gift of his Son to this world. His song is called, "My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness."
My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who bound the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in
At the wedding feast at Cana, Mary, Jesus' mother, seems to be involved somehow in either the organisation or the catering. She was quick to come to Jesus and point out to him the family's discomfort at the wine stocks dwindling. "They have no wine," she said to him. Considering the fact that celebrations following a wedding could go on for days after the event and could involve the whole village, this was disastrous news for the wedding party. Mary simply presents this problem to Jesus and leaves it with him, which is perhaps a lesson in how we should present our requests to him too when we pray. Jesus replies to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me?" He could well have been saying the word woman with affection here. It's hard to tell, as we can't make out the tone of someone's voice from the written word. But I doubt Jesus would have been addressing his mother disrespectfully. But he does reproach her for trying to force his hand when he's clearly not prepared for the kind of publicity and clamour a grand miracle might produce. "My hour has not yet come," he reminds her. Mary acts in faith and says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And he honours her faith and acts. We would do well today to listen to Mary's command to those servants then, to act upon his word, to do what Jesus asks of us. That is, if we want a better world in which to live. Here's a song by Chris Tomlin, "Water, You Turned Into Wine."
Water, you turned into wine.
And so it is that Jesus commands the servants to fill 6 stone water jars up to the brim with water. These massive containers of water were there for the purpose of purification, to wash away that which was unclean, washing hands before meals, and the cleansing of feet after a long journey. Each massive jar was capable of holding 20 or 30 gallons of water, and so water is changed into wine by Jesus, on a huge scale. The servants are then told to draw some of the contents out, presumably in a cup, and take it to the chief steward, who tastes it and compliments the bridegroom for keeping the superior wine till last. Let's listen to "Bless the Lord" by Matt Redman.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul,
as I mentioned before, with each miracle John mentions in his Gospel, we learn some important truths about who Jesus is. For also in his Gospel he tells us of how bread and fishes are multiplied, and that Jesus is the bread of life. He tells us of the healing of a blind man, and that Jesus is the light of the world. He tells us how dead Lazarus is brought back to life and reveals to us that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So what does this miracle of water becoming wine in today's reading tell us about Jesus? It tells the reader that Jesus could well be the one who was to come, the Messiah, for the disciples could now see for themselves that he had real power, true compassion for the needs of the people, and also a mind that waited upon God. John tells us that his disciples witnessed his glory and from that moment believed in him. Some commentators have suggested that John in his Gospel was showing us that Jesus came as the fulfillment of Holy Scripture, bringing life and sparkle to it. Others have suggested that John was trying to portray Jesus as the one who would bring a living, joyful relationship to those who are cold and lifeless and dead, just like the stone jars, I suppose. And some tell us that John was wanting to demonstrate that a new and living way had come. Here was someone who would pour himself out, just like wine, to transform the world. Let's listen to My Jesus, My Saviour, written by Darlene Zeck.
My Jesus, there is none like you. All of my days I will embrace the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath,
seas will roar at the sound.
I suppose there's truth in all of these explanations. But perhaps John also wanted to open the eyes of those who would come to read his words, just like the disciples' eyes had been opened by Jesus, so they would come to see the world and its needs through the eyes of Jesus himself. I'd like to read you some words from the film Brother Bear. It's a children's cartoon. In it, a young Inuit hunter needlessly kills a bear, and he is magically changed into a bear himself. It's by seeing things through the bear's eyes that his mind is transformed and he begins to view all life differently. The song here from the film is sung in the Inuit language at the point of the boy's transformation into a bear, but it's the words of wisdom in this translation I'd like us to hear. Come with me, and I will show you the way to a place that you fear. Without knowing why your heart has turned away from me, I will make you understand. Everything will become clear when you see things through another's eyes. You'll get to understand everything. Whatever is meant for you, you will find. Come with me, I'll show you the way. Take the role of that which you must be. This will make you understand, and time will be the only cure to make all your fears disappear. For everything will become clear when you see things through another's eyes. Our ordinary lives and our ordinary talents can become utterly transformed by God in an instant into something quite special and unique and fit to be used by Him. This final song is called Water into Wine, which I wrote a long time ago. It has these words: draw near with empty vessels, and he'll fill them to the brim. Be overflowing jars who rest in him. Let's remember that we must empty ourselves in order to make room so that we can be filled. But once we do so, we end up far richer. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick at Radio Tyneside. Thanks for spending this last half hour with us. Do write to us if you'd like to at info@radiotyneside.co.uk. May I finish with a blessing. May the Spirit of God stream within you. May the Spirit of God renew you. May the Spirit of God invigorate you. And may you walk with confidence and renewed vigour into this day. Amen. So here is United Folk singing Water into Wine. Bye for now.